5. Maybe you're guessing already. That's good. When we think of Good Friday and the cross and Jesus dying on the cross, typically what comes to mind is that on the cross he did what? He died for our sins. We just sang it. He paid for our sins. There's another word, a big P word in Scripture. He's a propitiation for our sin. Right? So it's biblical. It's true. It's absolutely right. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And the idea is there, right? We've racked up an offense, and it needs to be paid for. And so he did that. And how did he do that? Well, he lived the perfect life of obedience and then willingly died on the cross as a sacrifice, as a sin offering to pay for our sin, our rebellion, our disobedience to the maker of heaven and earth who made us in his image, made everything, said it's very good. Here's what I want for you. And we said, bad idea. We're going to do it our way. And we even have the imagery from that song about our robes and crimson will be white as snow. And that comes from Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's all true. That's all biblical. But it's only part of the picture. It's kind of one-dimensional. It's kind of like a picture of a diamond instead of the multifaceted reality of a diamond, right? Ladies, how many of you want to be handed a picture taped to a gold band? Here's your ring. Right? How many of you guys want a picture of a car? Right? It's one dimension, one aspect of it. So it's absolutely true, it's absolutely biblical. But it's only one aspect of it. However, it's the one that tends to jump to our mind, jump to our attention. Most kids can say it. He paid it for my sins. I think my one little daughter said it something like that one time. And that's absolutely right. But again, it's only one dimension. And it's very external. Kind of like, well, speaking about rings or cars. If you come upon someone's ring or car, or take someone's ring and scratch someone's car, or take someone's ring, and diamonds are kind of hard to ruin, but you ruin it, well, now you owe a debt, right? This needs to get fixed. And someone comes along and does that. Now it's fixed. Okay, it's been paid for. But what about why you did that? What about why you did that? See, the issue has always been and still is a heart issue. What's going on inside of us? When we talk about sin, we're thinking about the external expressions of it. But it comes from the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15, they're worried about cleansing of things and food and what goes in to make you unclean. And he says, it's not what goes into someone that makes them unclean. It's what comes out, because out of the heart comes blah. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's what comes out, right? What's in the heart? Evil intentions. And the Israelites were given all these external laws, and that's why they were worried about what can I eat, what's clean and not. But even in Deuteronomy 29:4, to this day, God has not given you a heart. It's a heart issue. It's also why some people, they look like pretty good, you know? They got their life pretty clean looking. So, you know, whatever, they're all right. No, they're not. And we like this idea of the person who's just lived that really rough, bad life. And they were out on the streets and doing all kinds of bad things. They hit rock bottom. And then Jesus found them. Yeah, praise God for that. But that man or that woman has no more reason to thank God for what Jesus Christ did on the cross then the young man or young woman who's growing up in a Christian home and believed in Jesus at a young age and doesn't have all those big things to get rid of in their life. Because there's an internal reality that's crimson and needs to be made white as snow. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross for his people. And there's one verse that says that very succinctly, and you can't even fully grasp the whole thing, and it's so easy to blow by. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 16, but it's verse 21 I'm going to end on, so to speak, in reading the passage, right? And hone in on and dwell on, because I want you to go away from here. I want you tonight to be thinking about this and going away from here tonight, what this means. And is this true for you? Starting in verse 16, before I read, join me in prayer. Father, as we continue on and look to your word again, grant us to understand. We come with our biases, our baggages, our own thinking, and surely our thinking is, it's our thinking. Grant us to understand yours, your ways, what you have here in your word. Pierce our cluelessness, our fog, our pride, and enable us to behold what it is that according to your will was accomplished by Christ on the cross. In Jesus' name. Picking up in verse 16, the Corinthians have issues with Paul, though they shouldn't. That's kind of the context, but I'm jumping right in. 5:16, 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, outward mere, human thinking, physical reality. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 20, for our sake, Paul is speaking as a Christian to Christians. So if you're a Christian, this is true for you. If you're not and you put your faith in Christ, this becomes true for you. But here's what happened on the cross. For our sake, for the Christian, for God's people, Christ's people, he, that's God the Father there, made him, that's God the Son, to be sin. And you know what it says in the Greek? For our sake, he made him to be sin. Think about that. It wasn't just that Christ paid for our sin. He was made to be sin. How can he be made to be sin? He's on that cross. He can't now go ahead and commit sin. So, okay, but he's paying for all the sins his people had committed, would commit, would ever commit, so that they're no longer guilty. But there's more than that going on there. It's more than someone stepping in and writing the big old check to have that car fixed up that you maliciously defaced, or to replace that diamond ring you took from the person you were angry at and threw into the sea. It's more than just that's been fixed now. It's been replaced. That outward thing has been taken care of. Christ himself became sin. Not a sinner, but he became sin. He took not only the guilt and the penalty for his people upon himself, but even their own evil hearts our every thought and intention, which is naturally contrary to the holy maker of heaven and earth, was upon him. And you see that because of what comes next. He made him who knew no sin, he made him to be sin, so that in him we might become no longer guilty. Well, that's true, but that's not what it says. So we become innocent? Well, that's true. That's not what it says. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He did not just die on the cross to clear the debt, though he did do that, to clear the debt for his people. But he died on the cross so that his people would no longer be as they were, but be as he is. I started in 16 because of what verse 17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a forgiven person. His debt is paid, innocent, declared righteous. All that is true. But that's not what it says here. It says new creation. Transformation. See, on the cross, it's the great transference. Who we are is transferred onto Christ, not just what we've done. Was transferred onto him who himself knew no sin. Doesn't mean he didn't know what sin was. He knew what it was. He knew right from wrong, never committed wrong. Not simply that he didn't commit it. He didn't even think it. Otherwise, he's the biggest hypocrite that ever walked the earth. Because he said, if you hate someone, it's like murder. If you lust, it's like adultery. He never even had those thoughts or inclinations. And yet on that one was put our evil. That we would become the righteousness of God. Not just declared, justified, forgiven, clean slate before God the Father, but his actual righteousness. From our very being on the inside and then expressed outward, the very character of God himself. That's what's in that one succinct verse. And it's in plenty of other places in Scripture. And it's right there along with things about propitiation and payment. But we cling to that part and we miss this part. Jesus died on the cross, took on who we are, that we would no longer be that. It wasn't simply a taking on, a transferring our guilt, but our own wickedness, our own pride, and arrogance, and willfulness that never gets us anywhere good, and certainly didn't bring us into existence. That's what he accomplished. What would be the implication of that? That it's not just, I have a clean slate, but now I get to live. I get to live in such a way that I reflect the one who became sin for me. New creation. I know I said just verse 21, but I can't help but connecting it to verse 17. How did we become that new creation? How did I go from being a lame duck or a turkey or a chicken or whatever to now I'm an eagle? How can that complete change? That's not even good enough, right? How did I go from being a catfish, my least favorite fish to eat? How'd I go from being a catfish to being that eagle or one of the red-tailed hawks around here? that just seems so majestic as it flies instead of on the bottom sucking mud. How? Well, catfish, all your mud-sucking consequences have been removed. It's true! But more than that. Much, much more than that. We actually are made and become new. The very righteousness of God. So that not only am I able not to do what I know is right, and I'm able not to do what I know is wrong, but there's even a changing of my heart, a transformation that I begin to actually want to do what is righteous before God. It's not automatic, hence the whole New Testament. It's not a light switch, but that's the new reality for the Christian because of what it says here in verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. New creations. How in the world? Because of that great transference. And not just of guilt and penalty, but of our very wicked and deceitful, arrogant hearts. Christ actually became sin. Though never having committed sin, not even in thought. Because as you said, it's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out. From out of the heart. What Moses, I mix up Moses and Abraham all the time. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 24 is, you need a new heart. Jesus has provided that. By sort of kind of taking our hearts on him. That's our reality now if our faith is in the one who died on the cross. Not just, oh, I don't have to pay. But I don't have to do that. I get to do that. I don't even have to think that. I don't even have to desire that. Work in progress by the Holy Spirit in us. By all means, may we continue to sing that Jesus paid it all, and yes, on the cross, Jesus paid it for my sins. But it's more than that. He became what we are, that we would be what he is, the very righteousness of God. That is miraculous. That's what happened on the cross. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus has indeed canceled the debt, paid the price, took our place, the perfect once for all sacrifice. Life is required. A life was given. The Son of God, the Son of Man, willingly gave it. Perfect, spotless Lamb. Father, thank you that also on that cross, Christ made becoming a new creation possible. Christ made becoming the righteousness of you a reality for his people. Wow. You indeed are God and we are not. Your ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. All praise honor, worship, glory is due unto you and you alone. You are worthy. And we can worship you, not only in song, but with our lives. If our faith is in your Son who died on that cross, because through him we become your righteousness, changed from the inside out, new creations, who then get to live the new life by your very power at work in us. Thank you for that great transference, transformation, that great gift brought about by Christ. May we never grow tired or weary of looking to the cross. And may you grow us more and more each day in our understanding of what actually took place because of who you are and what that means for us who trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.